We are going to conclude study of Book of Psalms. This will be the fourth section. We turn to the Book of Habakkuk, right? Page 4, D4. For tonight, we are going to study D4B. Let's review what we learned. In Habakkuk chapter 1 and chapter 2, the prophet Habakkuk asked two questions to God. What is the first question? What is the first question? What is the first question? What was the first question? Habakkuk asked God, how long will he allow the wickedness of Judah to go unpunished? Because if Judah is chosen people, right? And this country is supposed to be a country worship the true God. And God has been gracious to them. So they have been called the Prince of God. However, they have done a lot of wicked things. And most of the wicked thing is related to idol worshiping. And also have a lot of violence, injustice happen in the society. And seems God did not do anything. So Habakkuk just asked the question, how long will God allow this happen? Okay. This is the first question. What was the answer? You answer right, all right? Next one. What was the answer from God about the first question? Habakkuk asked the first question and God answered the first question. What was the answer? Here's the that's part of it. What was the answer of God to the first question? He's going to use a rod. What kind of rod? Wooden rod, iron rod? What kind of rod? God answered he's going to use a rod. He is going to use Babylonian, chariot, to punish the Israelite, the chosen people, right? So this is the first question and answer, Q&A, right? Between Habakkuk and God, Q&A. So if you have Q&A here, you are not satisfied, you can Q&A with God. And the answer from above will be most perfect. And then after God answered Habakkuk, the first question, then Habakkuk has even more power. So he asked the second question. What was the second question? We spent 3 hours. So what was the second question? Anybody know? You can read it very smoothly, thank God, right? The second question is, God, if you are a God of justice, right? How can you use a evil one to punish the less evil one? It seems against your nature, right? Now, if you do something wrong, your parents punish you, then you say, okay, I have nothing to say, right? But if your parents ask your sibling to punish you, and your sibling are more naughty than you do, then you just cannot, your heart can just have no peace. How can this possible, right? My parents ask my sibling, do more mistake to punish me. Same thing. So Habakkuk said, how can you use an evil to punish the less evil one? Really? This kind of question only God can answer. Other than God, nobody can answer, right? Now, what was God's answer to the second question? Yeah. Even God used Babylon as a rod to instrument to punish Judas. But the wickedness of Babylon will be what? Hold accountable. Oh, so God is going to treat separately about the wickedness of the wicked country, Babylon. So that means what? Fair. All right? God's justice is fair. Oh, right? And eventually the justice of God will be done in the due course. Oh, some will be done earlier, some will be done later. And the reason God did not manifest his justice is because what? He gave time, grace period for human beings to repent and to return and to change so that he don't have to judge the Israelite. So that was the question, two questions asked by Habakkuk. Now, after the Habakkuk received these two answers from God about his two questions, then we enter into chapter 3. Now we look into chapter 3. B. From verse 1 to verse 19, Habakkuk begin to question God, but he concluded the book with a psalm, with a prayer of praise. And his journey of faith was up to the highest point. You know, the most wicked, the most dangerous moment, right? Because the invasion of Babylon is coming, and it's coming very soon. In that moment, Habakkuk faith climbed to the top level. You know, some people say, nowadays, it's just like people cook frog in the warm water. Do you know what does that mean? Cook the frog in the warm water, whatever. The frog will jump out. If you put the water in the pot, right? And you gradually, you give the water gradually, right? The water has no sense of danger. Until it's too hot, then it's too late already, right? It's almost half of the body already ripe, already cooked, well cooked, right? It's too late. So something like that, right? When we live in a bit too comfortable environment, there's no something negative try to stimulate us to pursue our spiritual progress, then gradually our faith just die down. But in that so extreme environment, the mighty army of Babylon is going to invade him, and God already prophesied, right? He come, is going to kill, going to destroy, and going to capture them into Babylon. That was a great, great disaster. So at that time, Habakkuk only have one way to go. What was that? To trust God and to ask God for help. And so his faith reached to the climax in his life. Chapter 3, after Habakkuk realized God's plan, then he started to praise God. Now, point one, Habakkuk pray for God's mercy. Let's read the book of Habakkuk. Let's turn to the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 3. Verse 1 and verse 2. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. The prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on signal. Verse 2, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. And in wrath, remember mercy. Here, Habakkuk say, in your wrath, please remember your mercy. Wrath is inevitable. Why? Because the sin of Judah has been prolonged too long already. Already over the grace period. So the wrath of God is coming. But please, you say, in your wrath, remember your mercy. Because God do his justice under his mercy. So sometimes we feel that even God is so fearsome, but human being is more difficult to deal than God, right? God punishes, but when you repent, then God just sympathizes you and don't punish us anymore. So when David numbered the people and could glorify himself, and then later on God say, okay, you did this thing wrong, then you have to choose for three kind of punishment, one of the three. What are the one of the three that we choose? Right? You can be chased around by the enemy, right? And then you can have a famine for, I think, 7 years. And then and you also can choose the pestilence, the contagious disease and coming, right? And David say, I'd rather fall into the hand of God. Why? Because David know God is a merciful God, even though he has justice. When he have his justice done, he always accompany justice with mercy. And that exactly what Habakkuk pray for. When your justice done, please remember your mercy. So point one, Habakkuk pray for God's mercy. Why was the prophet afraid? Why? Why was the prophet afraid? Lord, I have heard your speech and warning and was afraid. Do you remember when God appeared on the Mount of Sinai in the book of Exodus, before God gave the Ten Commandments? What happened? There was fire and thunder, earthquake, right? Very, very awesome. Very, very powerful expression of God's nature. Right? And when God started to convey the Ten Commandments, right, the Israel was trembling and told Moses, don't let God talk to us, so, because we are afraid that we will all die. If you talk to us, we will all listen. So God is an almighty God. And it's very respectable, very powerful. Right. So that was the reason Habakkuk was very fearful about God himself. And then, if we read point C, in wrath, remember your mercy. That exactly God's nature. Wrath accompanied with mercy. So sometimes if we try to imitate God, we have justice, but the justice should be done in the setting of mercy. If there is only justice without mercy, whatever, we all die. If God has only mercy without justice, whatever, a lot of people will commit sin. Because God is merciful, whatever you do, God just forgive. Whatever you do, God love you. God will never punish you because God love you. If you only emphasize God's mercy without justice, and the church will be like an apple. Outwardly look is fine, but inside is corrupted. Why? Because of sin. So God has justice, and justice will be done in the setting of mercy. Now, Now we're going to point two. Habakkuk remembered God's mercy from verse 3 to verse 15. And chapter 3, verse 3 to 4 is the glory of God. Let's read chapter 3, verse 3. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. And his glory covered the heavens. And the earth was full with his praise. Verse 4. His brightness was like the light. And he has rays flashing from his hand. And there his power was hidden. You talk about God, right? He's a God full of strength. It's a God full of glory, and it's God full of light. And his power was hidden power. So God actually is far more powerful, far more glory than we can understand. And that's what Habakkuk was talking about, glory of God. Now, from chapter 3, verse 5 to 15, the power of the saving act of God. So chapter 3, verse 6 to 7, Habakkuk talk about the power of God. The God we worship is very powerful. Let's read chapter 3, verse 6. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations. And the everlasting mountain were scattered, and perpetual hills bowed. And his way are everlasting. And verse 7. I saw the tent of Cushan in affliction, the curtain of the land of the Midian trembled. So actually, the power of God is far beyond our understanding. The greatness of God is far beyond what we can understand. So Habakkuk described the God he worshiped is very powerful. Because of his power, the just shall live by faith. If we really, at that time of Habakkuk, right, if they really believe in God and really live a righteous life, become a just person, and even the disaster come, they shall live. Why? Because God will use his power to protect his own people. Now from chapter 3, verse 8 to 11, it's talk about the authority of God. Especially if we read verse 9, the authority of God, 8. Oh Lord, you displeased with the river. Was your anger against the rivers? Was your mouth against the sea? And that you rode in your horses, your chariot of salvation, and verse 9. Your bow was made quite ready. Oath was sworn over your arrow. You divide the earth with river, and mountain saw you and trembled. Overflow of the water passed by, and the deep utter its voice, and lifted its hand on high. And verse 11, the sun and the moon stood still on their habitation, and the light of your arrow they went, and shining of your littering spear. So all these three verses, four verses, is talk about the authority of God. God is in control of mountain, God is in control of the river, God is in control of sun, God is in control of moon. Do you remember in the Bible where it mentioned that God pushed back the sundial, the shade of sundial, 10 degrees backward? Where? Hezekiah, yes. Hezekiah was about to die because he got a very serious sickness. And Hezekiah prayed to God, asked God for mercy, right? And because Hezekiah was quite good king, and he was very godly, do everything that pleased God. So when he prayed, right, he cried, he touched the heart of God. So God gave him a sign that his life will be extended for 15 years. And what was the sign? The shadow in the sundial moved back 10 degrees. Is that possible for a human being? If you have some kind of science knowledge, right? The shadow of the sundial moved 10 degrees backwards, it's almost impossible, right? Because the earth will rotating itself, all right, under the sun. Because the earth rotating itself, so you see the sundial, right? Sundial, it keep on, the shadow keep on moving. If you want to turn the shadow 10 degrees backwards, means you have to stop the earth and reverse the motion of earth for 10 degrees. Is that possible? Almost impossible, but to God, everything is possible, right? Because of this possible, everything is possible, so he can extend Hezekiah's life. So the God we worship is a God with authority. And when Jesus Christ started to preach the gospel, according to Mark chapter 1, the first sign people feel that Jesus was different, because what? He has authority. Because Jesus Christ is God himself. So the authority, the power of God fell upon Jesus, so he has authority. And what kind of authority did Jesus have? The first authority in Mark chapter 1 talk about the authority of preaching. The message had power to touch and move people's heart. That was the first authority. And the second authority is what? The authority of cast out demon. Because that he was filled with the power of God. And the third authority is the authority of performing the miracle. So today, the authority of God still here. We believe in Jesus Christ. In the church, we have seen so many powerful work done by in the name of Jesus Christ. This is to show that the authority of God still remains in the church. So chapter 3, verse 8 to 11, talk about God was great. Now, we go into point three. The righteous of God, chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. You march through the land in indignation. You trampled the nation in anger. And you went forth for the salvation of your people. And from salvation with your anointed. And you struck the head from the whole house of the wicked. And by laying bare from the foundation to neck. What does that mean? Now, this is the righteousness of God. Right? He exercised his just. And verse 14, you thrust through with his own arrows and head of the villages, and they came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. And their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in the secret. So all of this, three, four verses, it talk about the righteousness of God. So God is powerful, and God has authority, and God is merciful, and God is righteous. That's what chapter 3, Habakkuk was praising God in the end, after he asked for two questions, after two questions been answered by God. Then Habakkuk's understanding of God will help him a lot while he facing the impending invasion of Babylon. Why? If we read chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Chapter 3, verse 16 to 19. Habakkuk had great faith. Verse 17 and 18. Chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit one on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the field yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there will be no herd in the stores. In verse 17, it talks about everything you expect to have something produced, but it turned out nothing bears the fruit in the field. So what does that mean? That means when the disaster comes, they even have the difficulty to live their life because there was no harvest in the field. And verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy with God for my salvation. So this is give us a lot of hope. Can you imagine if right now another nation is going to invade Los Angeles area? All right? And God already tell everybody, right? When the people invade Los Angeles, those who are unguarded all will be killed. And those who are remain still alive will be captured into Africa. Oh no. How do you feel? You cannot sleep, right? Because impending punishment of God is coming, right? This never happened before. But in that time, Habakkuk say, I rejoice in the Lord. I will rely on God's salvation. Why? Because he knew God is powerful, God is merciful, especially to the just. So the just shall live. Now, so if we can please God, and God will protect you. Do you remember in the time when the Israelite was in Egypt, God used 10 disasters to substitute the stubbornness of Pharaoh, right? And when the 10 disasters come, especially one of the disasters, the whole land covered by darkness. And what happened? There's one place, there's no darkness. Where? The whole land covered by darkness, only one location, no darkness. It's the place where the Israel live. Right? God sent down so many different kind of disaster, but the chosen people of God was never harmed, was never suffered. Why? Because God is almighty. So because Habakkuk had this kind of faith, so even though he knew something is coming to punish the Judah, but he has a faith, God will save him. God will save those who are just, those who are godly. So he was filled with faith. And in the faith, you can see his hope. Never disappointed and never desperate because there is God. So in the Bible, we can see the positive thinking. Of course, in the world, a lot of people talk about positive thinking. But real positive thinking comes from Bible. You know why? Because the God we worship is almighty. He can make something out of nothing. He can that the dead resurrected, right? Something impossible become possible. So this is the reason whenever we encounter anything happen, we still can be optimistic, because if there is God, there is hope. So we should be very positive in our Christian journey. We will never encounter a situation that there is a dead end, you have no way out. No, if there is way, there is God, there is a way out. No. In the Bible, there are so many testimonies. Yeah? When they came out of the Egypt, what was the first difficulty? As soon as they came out of Egypt, what was the first difficulty? The Red Sea. Red Sea, how can you cross the Red Sea, right? And not only that, when you look back, what happened? Egyptian army chasing. So you cannot march forwards. You cannot, move backwards. And Egyptian army is keep on approaching. It seems they are going to use the knife to kill them. Very soon they are going to be killed, right? That was a very desperate situation. And when we put ourselves in that kind of situation, what hope do you have? What kind of hope do you have? In front of you is a Red Sea. Behind you is an enemy army is chasing, is going to kill. What kind of hope do you have? Almost they have no hope. But at that time, Moses was so quiet. He was not afraid. He is so quiet. He asked the Israelite, come down. Right? Look, today God is going to do a mighty work for you. And what happened? He used a rod to point on the ocean. And the ocean split. And the whole Israelite walked through the dry land. So if God really guides us, if God is really with us, don't worry. There is no so-called dead end. In a very difficult situation, you still can find there is a way out. Right? And then when the Egyptian army follow, chasing them, following them to go through the dry land, right? What happened? Still possible they will kill them, right? If the army catch up them, they will kill them. And then the ocean cover again, then all die. Right? So once we have God, we have no fear about anything. Now, if we are sure God is with us, then God will open a way for us. The same thing, right? After 40 years of training, now, when it's time for them, ready to go into Canaan. And the Jordan River, right? And that was a season, so the water almost overflowed to the river bank. And the water was very strong. And then how can you cross the Jordan River? How? Right? They just follow God's command. You carry the ark. And when the priest step on the river, not step on the river bend, step on the river. Can you do it? The water is flashing, right? Very strong. And God said, you step on the river. Hey, if God don't protect what happened, you step on the river and you just free over and the water will flush you out, right? Right. But when the priest follow God's instruction, step on the river, what happened? The river separate. So they're crossing the Jordan River into Canaan. And this is not a story. This is a true story. Historical, it really happened. So the God we worship is the God who performed mighty miracle to deliver the Israel, to protect the Israel, to guide the Israel into his promised land. And so if we really have the faith to the Almighty God, right? Even the end of the world, we have no fear. Why? Because God will protect. The just shall live by faith. Right? If we really have a good conduct, a righteous person, have the abundance of God, because of our faith, God will protect us. We will never get harmed. just like Israel living in Egypt. So in the last days, the most important thing is what? Live a justified life, a righteous life. Do according to God's command. So Habakkuk trusts God in salvation. Great faith. If not, Daniel also have a great faith, the book of Daniel, right? And we look into the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 18. The book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 18. Anybody read it? Daniel chapter 3, verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your God, nor we worship the God image which you have set up. And verse 17, if there is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. So the king said, you cannot, right? You have to worship this this idol. And Daniel's three friends said, no, we are not going to worship the idol. The Almighty God is going to, if you put us into the burning furnace, right? The Almighty God will deliver us from the fire. Even if God don't deliver us from the fire, we still, we don't want to worship the idol. Why? Because idol is false God. Idol is not true God. Worship idol is sin against God. They have that kind of faith. Really, they don't bow down to the image. What happened? They throw the three friends into the fire. Even those who carry the three friends have been burned to die, right? And they look into the fire. How many people there? Four people. And they threw in three people. How come become four people? Four person. Why? One is God's messenger, right? God's angel come and protect them. So three person was unharmed. So this is the faith we need to have. God is almighty. God can deliver us from the hand of Satan. God can deliver us from the shadow of death. God can deliver us from all different kind of evil things happen. No. So because Habakkuk had this kind of faith, so the impending invasion of Babylon is coming. But he is still very calm and very joyful. So why we learn this? Because before Jesus' second coming, the same thing, disaster is coming. But that faith will help us to have a heart of tranquility, to have a heart of peace. Otherwise, before the end of the second coming, everybody will trembling, will terrified to death if we have no faith about God. Okay. Point D. God's power and salvation the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So the God in Old Testament saved so many people. So almost all the saints in the Old Testament experienced the mighty power of God to save them out of some kind of difficult circumstance. And that God is the God we worship nowadays. So we are afraid, even though we walk through the shadow valley of death. we are afraid nothing. Why? Because this God has no change. So discussion and the sharing, why can the one fearful Habakkuk afford to be so joyful? How was his situation changed? How come Habakkuk was able to be so joyful, right? When Babylon is invading, is coming. Because he knows God very well, and he has faith about God. So that becomes the source of his joy and his peace. Point two, B. How are wrath and mercy related? Yes, God's wrath, God's justice always accompanied with mercy. Because God exercised justice a lot of time in order that he can continue showing mercy to the Israel. The number C. What is Habakkuk's response to the poetic and dramatic vision of verse 3 to 15? Why is his heart racing? What evidence does he have for rejoicing? How does he get his sure-footed confidence? So if we read the book of Habakkuk, quite evident, we know that Habakkuk received assurance from God. So that will become a source of his rejoicing. Number D. This hymn-like chapter stir up a vivid memory in Israel of God, mighty and mercy. When has God worked mightily and mercifully in your past? Some of the members, they remember they had done something wrong. Seems God tried to use some difficulty to bring them back. And when some difficulty happened, they are very painful, right? But when they repent, and God show mercy and heal their sickness and resolve their difficulty, this kind of testimony is quite often. We heard about that. Now we look into the conclusion in Romans chapter 3. Our last question, F. What promise does 3:19 hold for your present situation? Let's read Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 19. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like the deer's feet. And he will make me walk on my high heels. God is my strength. So because of God give the strength, God's strength will more make perfect in human weakness. You know, we always boast about our strong point, right? You are good in this way, you are good in that way, that's human being, right? But God's power can make perfect in human weakness. Anywhere you feel you are very weak and you rely on God in that area, God will manifest his power, manifest his glory. Right? And a lot of times we have that kind of experience. Also, Paul, in his ministry, he only boasts about his own weakness so that the power of God can cover him, can help him. So this is a spiritual discipline. All right? After we've gone through a period of time of serving God, then we know the only thing we can boast about is our weakness. Right? Can you bring that truth seeker to church? Of course, we cannot say, I cannot, right? But in the bottom of the heart, who am I? How can I change the person's heart, right? I cannot do that. If we have that kind of feeling, I'm so weak, I cannot change a person's heart, right? And then we start to pray hard. And then God starts to work, and the truth seeker come to church. So our weakness manifests the power of God. But if we don't feel weak, right? I'm very eloquent, right? I'm very capable. No problem for me to bring that truth seeker, and it ends up a lot of problem, right? Because when we feel we are capable, and God's power cannot manifest. When we feel we are capable, we will not totally rely on God. We will not pray hard for God. Even the heavenly journey is the same. Like Peter said, I want to die for you, right? And Jesus said, you will deny me for 3 times. Peter did not feel his own weakness, so he failed, right? And he cried bitterly when Jesus looked back at him. Jesus did not criticize him, right? No. He only looked back at him, he cried bitterly. He knew he was weak. So in the day of Pentecost, he prayed so hard. So he was filled by the Holy Spirit, and later on he was put into prison, and Peter was fall asleep. How can in prison he will fall asleep? But second day, maybe he will be brought out to beheaded. How come he was able to fall asleep? Because his heart was so peaceful. Oh, even the angel wake him up, right, and bring him out of the jail, and Peter thought it's a dream. But it really happened, right? So, the more we feel we are weak, the more we will experience the power of God. The more we feel we are weak, the more the glory of God will be manifested. This is something very unique experience in the spiritual journey. This is something very different from anything happening in the world. So Habakkuk feel God is my strength. I will be like a deer. Since the deer have the strength, the deer will able to run to the top of the hill. Top of the hill means what? Spiritual high ground. Oh. The most difficult time we feel we are weak, we pray hard, and God's power lift it up to the spiritual high ground. Oh. Conclusion. God's time, God's authority, and God's purpose. As though the wicked triumph, but eventually they will be judged. The righteous will prevail, and judgment may not come quickly, but it will come. So, regardless in our family or in the church, we should not put the justice in our own hand. Right? Nobody do the justice. Let me hold it in my own hand. I want to revenge. No need for that. Why? Because in the church, there's a big boss there. The big boss is the Almighty God, and God is a justice God. He has authority. He is in control. He is in control of the history. Just wait. Pray patiently and wait. One day the justice of God will be done. So don't put the justice of God in our own hand. If we do this, we neglect the power of God. We dishonor the authority of God. He owns the church. We are not the master. We are only a servant. Point B, patient and waiting. With the question answered and new understanding of God's power and love, Habakkuk rejoices in who God is and in what he will do. So the only reason we can be joyful in tribulation because we understand who the God we worship and what God will done for us. Because of this, we can be rejoiced. So our joy comes from God. If God take away, then there will be no joy. There will be no hope. If God put it back, and there is a hope, and there is a joy. So God is so critical. So when we see the youth don't know, be close to God, don't know how to pursue God, really they miss the most precious one in the world. What is the most precious one? It's God himself. Number C, listen to God's answer and rejoice that he is at work in the world and in your life. Number D, from doubt to faith, we don't have to be afraid of asking questions of God. Of course, you can ask a lot of people, right? But a lot of people sometimes give you all different kind of advice. So what can you do? Really, when you try to have a question, you ask three people give you three advice, then what can you do? Eventually, you have to ask God himself. Now, right? Pray hard, pray hard, pray hard, ask God himself, right? After you totally ask God himself, God have you different way to tell you what is the right way now for you. So don't be afraid to question, pose your question to God, and God, you will receive answer. Number E, to imitate the prayer of Habakkuk, to reach the prayer of inner room. When we pray, reach to the inner room, from the innermost part of your heart to reach God, not only outer fervency. The second is effective prayer. The third is the firm life of faith. The last one, the just shall live by faith. Right? If we are a righteous person, we will live by our faith when it's in dangerous times, in the last days. The just shall live by faith. Sing him. Who prayed? How great thou art? Which one? Huh? 474.